How many know that God is good? Amen. Praise God. We, you have a handout there we have for you this morning. And how many know God is doing some good things? Is he not? Now let me just give you some instruction this morning. It's okay to say amen.
Amen.
It's okay to stand up and wave your towel if you have one. Amen. It's okay to slap your neighbor on the back if you hear something good and you like it. Just let them know ahead of time. If they're sleeping, just go ahead and do it. Praise God. And it's just awesome to be with you today. It really is. Let's just turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts. You'll just see that on your handout. Acts chapter 2. Praise God. Let's just read this portion of scriptures and then we'll pray. Is that all right with everybody? Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 41. How many know the day of Pentecost has just taken place? Peter has preached an awesome sermon. How many know God can use Peter? He can use you. Praise God. And he preached a holiness message, a message of repentance. Praise God. How many know? How many love repentance? Say, oh, Lord, help me. Praise God. We need that today. Well, look at verse 40 here. It says, and with many other words, Peter testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this lovely and awesome generation. No problems, no decay, no corruption. He said, be saved from this what? Perverse, crooked, evil generation. How many know that's where we're living? We're in the world, the Bible says, but we're not of the world. Hallelujah. How many, we need to be light in the world. Praise God. Be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about three people got saved. I'm sorry, nine people got saved. Now 3,000 souls were added to them. How many know this is a growing church? Is it not? Exponentially, this church just took off. Why? Because the message was preached. The gospel was preached. How do you bring revival? Programs? Nice buildings? The gospel. The simple message of Jesus brings revival to you and me. Isn't that true? Aren't you glad for Jesus? The gospel message. And the Bible says here in verse 42, and they continued. Everybody say continued. Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And see, it just wasn't words. It was demonstration. Everybody say demonstration. When we come to church, and I know Pastor Jay is a good Pentecostal man. And how many know this is a Pentecostal church? Turn to your neighbor and say, this is a full gospel, charismatic, Pentecostal church. Amen. And we beat up on the devil, right? Amen. Say, let's say it again. We're a full gospel, charismatic, Pentecostal church. In other words, we've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. We, how many remember Gary Bailey? We had a series of meetings a couple of weeks ago with him. And he came and preached a wonderful message. And how many like to be a word church? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a word person. What does that mean? That means I talk a lot. No. That means I love the Word of God. That means God's Word is coming out of my heart in abundance. That means God's Word is on my lips. But he says, not only do you want to be a Word church, but you want to be a Holy Ghost church. Praise God. You know, Paul says he came preaching not with the wisdom of men, persuasive words and knowledge and understanding, but he came in demonstration, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, demonstration of the power and the Spirit of God. You know what? We need the Word of God, but we need the Holy Ghost. We need a demonstration of God's Spirit in our life. You know what? When that happens, Jesus is coming out of you. When that happens, people see Jesus in you. We talked today, we sung, Let the River Flow, John chapter 7. Out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. Amen. You know, the world needs living water. Turn to your neighbor and say, the world needs you. The world needs me. Amen. To bring the gospel, the love of Jesus to them. And we had a great time with Gary. And a couple of weeks ago, we were down in Pennsylvania at some tent meetings. We did some worship a couple of nights. And I didn't even pray yet, but that's okay, right? And at the end of the service, there was ministry time, and this elderly man, probably in his 70s, came forward with another man, probably the same age. And this is down in Pennsylvania, so they had shirts on with suspenders. And these were farmers. And I can just see it so clearly in my head as he came forward. He says, he was already saved, in church. He says, I want the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be able to speak in tongues, pray in tongues. He's in his 70s, church. He's hungry for God. How many want to be hungry for God when you're 70? Amen. You teenagers, oh, that's too far away. You be hungry for God now, amen. And Gary, just we ministered to him, and all of a sudden his hands are lifted up. The Holy Spirit comes upon him, and he starts speaking in tongues. And the gentleman next to him just is weeping. He's just crying. And I'm weeping and crying, just seeing a demonstration of God's love and God's presence. You know, when you're 70, you think you've experienced a lot of things in life. But you know what? Jesus keeps getting better and better and better. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, it's just a wonderful thing to see God touch that man. You know, he's going to go home. He's going to be a better grandfather. He's going to be a better husband. He's going to be a better church member because the Holy Spirit is flowing through his life. You know, the Holy Spirit can do that in you. Amen. When you're empty, he'll fill you. You don't have to earn it. Amen. You don't have to work for it. You just have to accept it and believe it. Praise God. Amen. That's a good word, isn't it? Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we give you glory and honor and praise. And Father, we just thank you for Abounding Grace Christian Church. Father, we thank you for Pastor Jay and Pam. Lord, we thank you for coming out of this church. Lord, the many years that we were here, Father, the time that we spent, the time that we grew, Father, the time, Lord, that we were inputted into our life, the Word of God, the presence of God, and Father, we thank you for that. We'll never forget it, Lord. And Father, we just pray this morning for everyone here in this sanctuary, in this place, God. Lord, that we would be revived, that we would be renewed and refreshed. God, that we would understand our significance, our purpose here in the earth and why we are here. And Father, just open up our eyes, our spirit this morning. We ask in Christ's mighty name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at your Bible again in Acts chapter 2. Verse 43, I think, where we left off. It says, some great preaching went on. They gladly received what the Apostle Peter had preached. The church grew. Amen. It says in verse 42, let's read it again. They continue steadfastly. That means you don't quit. How many have ever felt like quitting? Amen. There's too many Christians today that are just quitting. And just, you know, getting off on side issues. But you know what? We've got to stay steadfast to the Lord. We've got to, it's not how we start, it's how we finish. Amen. It's not so much where we're going, but it's the journey on the way. It's what God is doing in our life that's so important. Today we need steadfastness like never before. Praise the Lord. So they continue steadfastly in the teachings of the apostles and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Everybody say prayers. And something great happened. Verse 43, then fear, reverence, and awe came upon every soul because they saw something. Something was different. And the Bible says here that many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. How many want to see wonders and signs today? One of the greatest wonders and signs is someone getting born again. Someone being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's a wonder and a sign. The Bible says that these were done through the apostles. Verse 44, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. The Bible says, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. And so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, everybody say church, and from house to house, I know your Christianity is not just on Sunday. Your Christianity is every day. Your Christianity is house to house. Hallelujah. And so from house to house, they ate their food with gladness. How many like to eat food? No problem there, right? And they did it with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church again daily those who are being saved. Let me just look at some things this morning as you have your handout. What is a Spirit-filled church? And the best way to measure this is to look at the early church in Acts, which we just have read in Acts chapter 2. And let's just fill in these blanks and just be led of the Lord as we go along in this. Number one, if we're going to be a Spirit-filled church, a Holy Ghost church, a Word church, all these things included, number one, we need to be a growing church. Everybody got a pen? We need to be a growing church. And I'm not just talking about abounding grace, but I'm talking about those who love the Lord, those who are saved, those people that are come together in Christ. God wants to see growth, spiritual growth. How many have ever got just stagnant? Man, you're just like in a rut. And, you know, even a good mule can't get you out of that rut. Right? But God says there is a way out. It's getting in His presence. It's getting before the Lord. We all get in a place of being in a spiritual rut where the things of God just kind of lost, you know, that uniqueness and that specialness in our life. And see, those are times we need to, like a wilderness. I don't know if you've ever gone through a wilderness. You know, Jesus went through a wilderness, and if He got through it, so can you. Amen. And the Bible says when He came out of that wilderness experience, those times of temptation and trial, the Bible says He was full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He went forth anointed with the power of God. And how many know we need that today? Praise the Lord. Well, we need to be a growing church. And the Lord added to the church daily that such that should be saved. And so there's some things here, four things that are very indicative of this. And number one, it's growth and attention. In other words, they gave their heart and mind to God. How many know when they say, stand at attention, what does that mean? That means to stop what you're doing and focus on what's in front of you. I think so many times we get so distracted, caught up in the affairs of life. And how many know we're all busy? Man, we got a full week, all of us. But I love what Ted shared, Colossians chapter 3. This is, we need to set our mind on the things which are above. And not on the things that are on the earth. How many know things are going like crazy in the world around us? Isn't that true? But we must never lose focus. We must continue to give our attention to the things of God. And sometimes you're just going to have to stand in the mirror and say, stand at attention. Pay attention to what I'm doing in your life. Amen? Number two, there's a growth in attendance. The Bible says that they were daily in the temple. How many know when we come to church, it's more than just walking in a building. It's more than just saying, I showed up. When you come to church, you're coming into the presence of God. You're coming into a position where you can hear the Word of God, experience the presence and the demonstration of God in your life. You're coming into a place where there's fellowship, koinonia, a time when the people of God come together. We need that. We need each other. It's important, church. Amen. It's not just coming in and sitting in a comfortable seat. It's coming to be with God and allow God to flow through your life. I'm not preaching at you, am I? Hallelujah. So there's growth, and so we need it. We need one another. Number three, we need growth and affection. The Bible says in Acts 2:24, and they sold their possessions and they shared what they had. How many know that's the body of Christ? In other words, what they had, they gave. And see, when we come to Christ, we lose that selfishness. We're saying, you know, we have a guy that we have known a long time. And he's visiting us, with us this past week. And he has a ministry. He's 62 years old. And the name of his ministry is Five Loaves, Two Fish. And he travels the United States in this camper with a trailer behind it. And he reaches out to the homeless. How many know he's on fire at 62? Amen. He's just not at home just waiting to die. And waiting for something else to happen. He says he gave God a 7-year commitment to travel this country. He will go down to places that have been devastated by hurricanes. He was down in Texas, Florida, many different areas, just going across the country. And he'd just be driving his van. And he would see people on the street. He would see people on the highways. And he would just stop and get to pull over. They call him U-Turn Joey. Because, man, he'd be driving down the road, and there'd be a guy there, you know, a homeless guy, you know. And he'd, U-Turn! The whole trailer. See, he loved Jesus. And so God has called him to do something. Everyone here has a calling and a purpose. Don't ever think that you don't have a calling and a purpose. And Joe is just a wonderful man of God, just doing some amazing things. But I tell you, he just drips with the love of Jesus. You can see it in his face. You can see it in his eyes. He'll start telling stories about people that he's seen across the country, and he'll just start to cry and to weep as he shares these stories. People that God had just given him divine appointments and lead them to Christ. It's just amazing. How many know the body of Christ needs affection? You know what? We just can't talk about love. We can't just say love's a good thing. We have to show it. Amen. We got to give it. And we have to stir up the love of God in our hearts and display the love and the affection of Christ to one another. How many know it's not easy? I love conflicts. How about you? No, I hate conflicts. But you know what? We need, the Bible says, to show forth the love of God and let it flow through our life. It's a very important thing. Affection. And number 4, a growth in attitude. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5:29 that they would rather obey God than man. How many know the Bible says in Proverbs that the fear of man brings a snare? How many, sometimes we need an attitude check. Well, I don't want to go to church today. I don't want to sing songs. I don't want to worship. I don't want to help out in Sunday school. I don't want to tell somebody about Jesus. I did last week. Why do I got to do it this week? I don't want to go to work. I don't want to be a witness. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But you know what? When we stay in the presence of Jesus, you just tell him, God, I got a bad attitude today. I need your help. You know what? And he'll just readjust you. And you start showing a Christ attitude. You know what? I put you there not for you, but for me. Amen. I put you in that place for me, not for you. God's put you there. And so we need to say, God, help me my attitude. God, I repent. Amen. We need a checkup from the neck up, as Zig Ziglar would say. Praise God. Amen. Some of you are going to go get it today, right? Check up. So we need a growth in attitude. And we don't want to fear man. We don't want to walk in fear and be pressured by the things around us, our friends. We just want to say, you know what? I'm going to tell people about Jesus. How many, a couple of weeks ago, well, actually it was last Wednesday, how many remember Keith Green? How many know the song, Oh Lord, You're Beautiful? Oh Lord, You're beautiful. Your face, come on, is all I see. How many know that song? Keith Green wrote that song. Amen. And they did July 28, 28 years ago. Keith Green died at the age of 28 on July 28th. And he was a man on fire for God. 7 years, a Christian, but sold out to Jesus, sold out to Christ. And he was not afraid of man. He would preach no matter what, on the street, on the sidewalk, in a home, at work, wherever he was. His life was totally captivated by God's love and presence. And I would say, man, I was watching the video a little bit last night. I was just crying, God, I want that kind of commitment. God, I want to have that kind of life. I don't want to be afraid of man, afraid of pressures, afraid of peer pressure, afraid of what people may say or what they may think. Man, I'm 50 years old. Oh, y'all so nice not saying anything. I know I look it. But you know what? I just want to be more sold out than ever before and love Jesus with my life. So proud of my kids. Don't they do a great job? You know? I love you guys so much. You are awesome. So proud of them. My daughter Becky is down with Teen Mania. She's going on her third tour down in Texas. And just went to Facebook. I had to do it. Had to go to Facebook. Oh, God, Facebook. And I just sent her a little note that we got back from Buffalo last night, safe. And she was on the way to Ohio to a wedding. And then she'll be starting her tour sometime at the end of August, early September. But she just loves Jesus. Amen. She has a heart for God. And you know what? They're just kids, just like you kids are. You know, they allow God to get a hold of their heart, get a hold of their life, and use them. God wants to use you. God wants to flow through your life. Yes, you right there. Amen. God has good things for you. He wants you to rise up in this generation, be a voice for Him, make a difference. How many know we can make a difference? Praise the Lord. You got a great church, a great pastor. Man, you guys ought to be going gangbusters in this place, bringing people to Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on. So we need to be a growing church. Number two, we need to be a going church. And daily in the temple and every house, they preach Jesus Christ. A growing, a going church. I'll just read down through these real quick. Number one, they were people, could not stop them. Romans 1:16. How many know what that scripture says? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Amen. God, I don't want to be able to, you tell me to go witness, to share, and it's in front of people. I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to quiver in fear or back off. Think, well, what if I say something wrong? What if I don't say the right thing? What if it's the wrong person? Can't be the wrong person. You got that, right? Where He sends you, it's going to be the right person. Amen? And we're not going to be afraid. We're not going to compromise. People could not stop them. Prisons could not stop them. Philippians 4, Paul says, I've been content. I don't, whether I'm abasing or abounding, I've learned to be content. Acts 16:25, that Paul and Silas, when they were thrown in prison for preaching the name of Jesus and they were bound in their fetters, the Bible says that they started singing in the depths and darkness of prison, praising and worshiping God, counting themselves worthy to suffer for Jesus. The Bible says when they praised Him and worshiped Him, amen, those shackles fell right off. And the Bible says the prisoners heard them. Are people hearing your praises? Are people seeing your testimony? Are people seeing Jesus in your life? You know, I'm preaching to me too. We need it today. You see, the Word of God needs to go forth through our lives to this generation, to people. Hallelujah. Amen. People, prisons, persecution could not stop them. Turn over to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Let's look at verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except, everybody say except, the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying the chains and tribulations await me. How many know He's not going to take a U-turn? He's going to go right into the storm. Look at that, verse 24. He says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I've allowed so many things to move me sometimes. Attitudes, circumstances, situations. And Paul says, tribulation, chains, prison, persecution await me. But yet, because I have no value on my life. Because he said in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Revelation says, and we count not our life even unto death. And it's just something about just dying in Jesus, bringing life in ourselves and to others. Dying to our own wants, our own needs. You know what? God's going to take care of it anyway. And we worry about so much stuff. Oh my gosh. But when we learn to die to self, that Jesus may come forth in us. Man, that's a powerful thing. Is it not? Paul said, none of these things move me. Well, I didn't get my parking spot. I always park there. I'm not going to church. I'm just kidding. But there's so many things that are just nothing. Zippo, zero, when it comes to Christ. And serving Him and living for Him. People, prisons, persecution, problems could not stop them. Not threats, even murder. How many know? Remember Stephen, the first martyr in the church, just boldly proclaimed Christ, and they stoned him to death. Especially when he said, well, I see the Lord. I just had a bit. I see the Lord. Are you kidding me? They killed him. But yet he boldly proclaimed the name of Jesus. So we have a growing church, a going. Everybody say with me, growing.
Growing.
Going.
Growing.
Now how about this, a glowing church. The early believers changed the world. Acts 17:6 says that they turned the world upside down. How many know Rotterdam needs to be turned upside down? I know you guys have been involved in some great things, evangelism, Wow Jam a couple of weeks ago, and some great things that happened in Schenectady. You know what? You need to keep the pressure on. We all need to keep that evangelistic pressure on. Amen. And not let it fall through the cracks, but just say, man, we are here commissioned of the Lord to bring the good news. Amen. We are. You are. A glowing church. Number one there, it says power. The power. Acts 11:26, it was the world that called Christ followers, Christians, for the first time. They saw something different in their life. Turn over to prayer. Acts 4:13. Turn there. How many know prayer sets a church ablaze for Jesus? How many know prayer is that engine, that furnace? Man, it just runs everything in ministry and in your life. Without prayer, we are nothing. We are empty, going through the motions. The book of Acts, the people, those Christians, they knew how to pray. Think about it. Disciples in the upper room, waiting for the outpouring of the Spirit. You know, they were having a pot trust, waiting for Jesus. Were they? Now, the Bible says they were praying. They were in one accord, just seeking God, pouring out to God, crying out to God. And Keith Green, his one of the last times that Lauren Cunningham saw him youth, with a mission. It says Lauren and his wife and Keith and Melody Green were praying. And they were praying outside. And Keith was just on the ground, just hitting his fist on the ground, praying, God, give us this nation. Give us this people. I mean, it wasn't about his voice, his music, his ministry, Keith Green, it was about Jesus. I want to pray like that. Just strike the ground. Hit the ground with desperation and determination. God, give us this nation. God, give us Rotterdam. God, give us, here, here's one. Give us Sloanesville. Amen. Without prayer, we're nothing. Without prayer, we don't have that connection. We need to be praying people, not just something on a calendar or in a weekday that we go to, but praying people, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. Amen. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a second here. But we need to be praying people. We need power. Prayer. Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, how many need a little bit more boldness? I was just praying that the other day. God, give me boldness. Give me boldness. And then I said, I have boldness. The righteous are as weak as are as bold as a lion. And so I stopped praying, God, give me boldness. I started saying, God, I am bold. bold to go up to some unsaved person and say, "Are you saved?" We have a lady in our church, man. She's just an evangelist. She's in her 70s. And she just goes up to people, "Are you saved? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you speak in tongues?" She's just bold. She says, she's like, "Well, I'm 70-some years old. What are they going to do to me? If anything, they're going to have sympathy on me. Oh, she's just old. She doesn't know what she's talking about." But man, she's just on fire for God. I mean, when she starts to pray and seek the Lord in church and stuff, she'll just cry and she just gets overwhelmed with the love of Jesus. But you know, you ought to just try it. Try it. Try it today. Are you saved? Are you filled? Amen. And you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen. Might be the next person that's sitting next to you on Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. You know, that's what it's all about. It's not building our kingdom. It's building the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Give somebody a high five. People, prisons, persecution, problems, a glowing church, power, prayer. Now look what he says here. The Bible says, "And they marveled," verse 13 of chapter 4, "and they realized that they had been with the deacon, that they'd been with the pastor, that they were with the denomination." No, it says they had been with who?
Jesus.
Jesus. You know, when you're with Jesus, everything changes. Amen? Everything changes in your life. They were uneducated, the Bible says here, but they knew there was something different on their life. Their life was marked. Their life was different because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Power, prayer, persuasion. Acts 26, verse 28, Paul is giving his testimony before King Agrippa. And this king says, "Paul, you've almost persuaded me to become a Christian." How many would love to have a conversation like that? Hey, man, I appreciate Josh. Man, he just loves to share Jesus. Amen. He's just bold. And he's just down to earth. Oh, I think he's down to earth. He's just real, isn't he? But man, he hasn't lost his love for Jesus and his love to tell others about Christ. Praise the Lord. And be a part of those that are doing that. God is good. We need to be in people's lives and faces. And just little by little, sow seeds. Share the gospel. I was at a funeral in Buffalo yesterday. I said, "God, I'm praying on the way out there. God, I just want somebody to come to Jesus." You know, when it comes down to everything, ministry, life, family, home, work, job, you know, it all comes back down to this one thing. Is someone getting saved? Is someone coming to Christ? Is someone living for God? And we're just praying. God, give us opportunities to share. And I just preached the gospel message at that funeral. I just had to do it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, you know the verse, believes in him should not perish. When they left that place, they knew they were sinners. They knew they needed Christ because he was the only solution. How many knew that? And it's just a wonderful thing. And I found out in my family, this is my dad's brother who passed away. He was 82 years old and a Bushman. And I just got reacquainted with all of these Bushans at that funeral. And some of them Bushans were born again, were Christians. And I just thank God. I have not seen any of them. Maybe I did when I was a little kid, but I don't remember. But it's just so good to see God working in families. You don't think God's going to work in your family? He will work in your family because you're praying. You don't think the people in your family are not going to get saved? Listen, they're going to get saved. If you pray and if you believe God. Praise the Lord. Well, we got a couple more minutes. Let me give you the rest of these. So we need to be a glowing church, full of the Holy Spirit, God flowing through us, power, prayer, persuasion. And finally, we need to be a groaning church. Paul had a love for unbelievers, and it caused him to weep. Paul says, "I would do anything for someone to come to Christ." When's the last time you just cried and you wept for a lost person? That you would see them saved and born again. Paul had that kind of heart. How many know Jesus had that kind of heart? The Bible says in Matthew 9 that he saw the multitude and he was moved with compassion because they were sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion. Sometimes we just need to pray for compassion to motivate us. To look beyond our preferences, our personality, our whatever, and get beyond it and just be moved with compassion. God, help me touch a life. Help me touch a life. God, use me. All of a sudden, God's like this, using you. Got his hand on your back. He's using you. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing, isn't it? We need to be crying for the lost, pouring out our heart. Number two there, we need to be concerned for the lost. Romans 8:26, a great prayer about praying by the Holy Spirit for the lost. How many know we need to? There's a world going to hell, church. And we've forgotten about that. And we can't forget about that. So when it's all said and done, and we breathe our last breath, and we enter eternity, that's what it's about, isn't it? We're in transition. Amen. People need Christ. How many remember when you got born again? How many remember you were on fire? And you shared Christ freely, unhinderedly, without fear, without reservation? And somewhere down the road, we lost it sometimes. Now some of you, I'm sure many of you, are sharing Christ. Being a witness at work, at school, on the job. I'm sure many of you are. But if anything I could say this morning is that we need to allow the strength of God, the Holy Spirit, to revive that passion, to revive that love, to revive our purpose in which we have been created for, to bring people into the kingdom of God. How many know that's important? You know what? We just need to keep the pedal. How do they say it? And not let up, because it's easy to let up. It's easy to get indifferent in times and get callous and get cold because of life and circumstances and situation. And apathy will try to sit in and grip us. And sometimes we just got to fight it on our knees. Sometimes we got to get on our knees and weep and cry. God, I feel nothing. And God says, that's okay. I'm going to pour into you. We need that. Crying for the lost, concern for the lost, compassion for the lost. Let's just read this last statement. And one of these reasons that motivate us is knowing the judgment of God. Revelation 20 talks about the great white throne judgment. That we're men, women, people of all ages are going to stand before God one day. And we seek to lead men to the saving knowledge of Christ. The psalmist says in Psalm 126:5, how we should weep for the lost. Galatians 4:19, Paul says that I labored, I groaned, that Christ may be formed in you. To reach the lost, to preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16, the church must be filled with the Spirit. Forms and rituals will not accomplish the Great Commission. Plans and programs and even finances, and all these things are important, will not get the job done. A church is filled with the Spirit, will reach the lost with the gospel, and you are. Say, I am. The Holy Spirit changes, and I love this last statement, and we'll close. The Holy Spirit changes weakness to power, indifference to faithfulness, shyness to boldness, and failures to success. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18, I can, Ben, if you want to just come and play. Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with what? Be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to have my wife just come up and just stand with me as we pray. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Let's just, everybody knows how to pray in tongues, right? Let's just pray in the Spirit. We're Pentecostal church. Let's just pray in the Spirit and just get a hold of God this morning and allow God to just speak to us, confirm His Word to us. You know, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, listen, when you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. But we need that overflowing power in our life that so much that it touches our tongue. Amen. And we speak out that heavenly language that God has given us, a gift from heaven to empower us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to build us up and to edify us. And we need that in our life.